for those who have ears, let them hear. Touch their hearts this morning. Father, because you are you and you are you alone, are the author and finisher of all of our faith. In Jesus' name, before we sit down, I want y'all to shout hallelujah 3 times. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your baby's seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Lord is worthy to be praised. Praise team. You know you sung my song. I took it to be for me. Yeah, there you go. This morning, I have an unusual, I said unusual message for me. But it's going to be beneficial. How many of you, well, I guess you all have heard all the court stories on TV and the judges and people taking people to court. It's more court stories than I have ever seen before in my life. But I notice when you're in the natural, you want to take to court. You want a good lawyer. But you want that lawyer to come here. Sometimes they come to you, go in the office, and he'll talk with you. Because he'll tell you about the judge. If he know the judge that's going to be presiding that day, he'll tell you all about the judge. But then he goes and says, I don't want to take this without any money until you get some money. But see, I want to see if you have a case first. If you have a case, then we go on to the judge. But you know, naturally, especially from accidents and things, you're taking somebody may talked about you, persecuted you, treated you wrong, you want to take them to court. But a lot of times, you get to the point of you may be losing, but they want you to lie a little bit. They always tell you, you put your hand in the Bible, it's promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, right. So help me God. It doesn't work that way. Amen. This morning, the topic that I chose is understanding how the courtroom of God works.
Amen.
See, we stay here, and when we're in the natural, we somebody do us wrong, we jumped at the chance to take him to court. But you know, many of us are being ripped off. The enemy has successfully stolen from us that which God had intended for us. Many of us are living our lives under the cloud of a spiritual theft. He perpetually has stolen our joy, our peace. He steals our relationships. He perpetually steals our mental and emotional well-being. He steals our progress in life. He steals the worst thing that he could steal, and that is of all, and that's our hope. Our goal through this is for you and for me and for us is to reclaim your spiritual authority.
Amen.
For us to get back what was legitimately stolen from us. For you to be able to ascertain identity, recapture that which God has intended for you.
Amen.
But I'm going to say intended for us. I'm included in all of this. Because nobody in here is perfect.
Amen.
But thank and give glory to God.
Come on, Pastor.
But in order for all of that to happen, in order for me, for you, for us to get all that God says he intended for us, and he speaks collectively, that's why I say all of us, me, you, and them, us, to no longer be ripped off in our homes with our children, our marriages, our jobs, our well-being, physically and mentally.
That's right.
We are going to have to understand and enact God's perspective. There's one phrase that if you ever understand this one phrase, is found in Daniel chapter 4, verse 26. It's not that long, folks, so I don't want y'all getting sleepy and hung up in here. But I want you to get this part because I have another message next week. But you need this one to be fulfilled by the next one. I told you this is something I'd never done before. Sister Sharon, ain't it right? God good, ain't he? All the time. And it explains everything because the last part of the phrase says, after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. Recognize that it's heaven that rules. And you go to Psalm 103, verse 19, it says, for the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. I said the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. And his sovereignty rules over all. Okay? I may get to some complicated stuff. I want you to get this part first. That God is in charge even when things are in disarray. When you understand that it changes, when you understand it, it changes your priorities. In the book of Daniel, when Daniel prayed, and the moment his prayer got to heaven, immediately it was answered. But he found himself caught in a cosmic conflict.
That's right.
And that cosmic conflict was seeking to not to give him what God had for him.
Come on,
let me tell you something. That is the answer. It was being blocked. Now, he prayed. God answered the prayer. But he didn't get it. It was blocked. Because the moment you begin to operate and prioritize the spiritual, you will have inserted yourself in what I call the angelic conflict. The conflict in the spiritual realm that affects the physical realm in which we live. In Daniel chapter 7, starting with verse 9, he says, I kept looking until the thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His garment was like white snow, and the hair of his head was pure wool. His throne was ablaze with fire. Its wheels were a burning fire. Verse 10, a river of fire was flowing from coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him. Myriad upon myriads were standing before him. The court convened and the books were open. Don't miss this. The Ancient of Days, God Almighty, comes into his throne. Throne is where the king rules. But we discover in verse 10 that the throne room, stay with me here, especially Avante, don't you go anywhere, is also a courtroom. Because he says the courts were seated and the books were open. God is sitting on a throne, but the ruler is also the judge. Because he is in a courtroom. In order for you to understand how the world works and how it affects your life and my life, you must not only understand the rule of God, you must know how to operate in God's court.
Hallelujah.
In this courtroom, there are two sides, and they are not going to agree. That's why we are in court. All the judge is doing is rendering a righteous judgment. When you deal with earth, what's happening in your life, you want to take it to court. Everybody knows the decision of the judge can change your life. It can change it for the bad, or it could change it for the good, depending on what the judge decides. So I want you to look at your life, my life, our lives collectively, our lives, from the standpoint of a throne room that is serving double duty as a courtroom. Now, to take you a little bit further, this is going to be somewhat didactic, which means overburdened with instructions and priorities. But you need to understand that if you're going to regain your spiritual authority, you need to know how to operate in court. Daniel, in chapter 7 and verse 25, and he will speak out against the Most High. Listen to this now. And he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. And he will intend to make alterations in times and the law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Verse 26 says, but the court will sit for judgment. That's what courts do. They sit for judgment. And his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. Verse 27, then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole earth will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him.
Hallelujah.
So now you see what's taking place, what's happening. Here is a future picture of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, that which is against Christ, the Antichrist, is going to seek to rule. But the Antichrist will be brought to court. And when the Antichrist is brought to court, it says the sovereignty and dominion, which is to rule a throne, the sovereignty and dominion of God will override him. It says in time, times and a half time, 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to seek to subvert or sabotage, a better word, the saints and the program of God. Now, he is talking about end times, according to 1 John. I want to read that whole thing. I'm giving you a little bit of it, but I want to read the whole thing. Well, I just want to give you, well, you can catch it. 1 John, chapter 4. First three verses, but the fourth verse, it says, many antichrists have already come. So what he's talking about that will happen is already operating in the world. That which is against Christ. So we're not talking 3.5 years, we're talking, that's coming. But what this is saying, he's already here and operating. Just like in this illustration, the goal of the Antichrist will be to subvert the saints, sabotage the saints, so that the program of God is not instituted. And many antichrists that operates now is trying to, I like that word, subvert the purposes of God in your life. Sabotage the word of God in your lives, in my life. And he does it by stealing what God has purposed for you. Please note, going back to Daniel, verse 9 and 10, in chapter 7, he says, when the folks were set, when everybody sat down, the books were open. We got a king sitting on a throne, but a judge sitting on a bench. And guess what? It's the same person. Because he's in charge.
Hallelujah.
You have heard a judge say, and every time I think about Judge Judy, the littlest woman in the court, she says, I'm the judge here. You're going to do what I say. I'm in charge. What God is saying, this is my court. I am in charge here, but it's also my judgment. So God is in the judgment seat. He's also in the court, but the problem is there is a complainant. There is somebody in that court that's trying to take something away from you. Revelations chapter 12, verse 10 says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's a legal term. Now we get the will into this more important. Let me get to that a little bit later. But he says that he is the accuser of the brethren. He is accuser of the brethren day and night. In our time together, we are going to look at this specific scenario. Peter, we're going to look at Peter, Joshua. We're going to look at, remember Job, where Satan is accusing him? See, well, let you know this accusing, that's a legal term. Let me give you another one. 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says that your adversary, the devil, is looking for those he can destroy. That's 1 Peter 5 and 8. The word adversary means a complainant in a lawsuit. So the way Satan robs us, is by taking you to court. He takes you to court on the grounds by which he can let take you to court is he has something to accuse you about. That's what he does. He's an accuser of the brethren.
Yes,
he has something to accuse us about. Let's pretend we're in a court. Satan comes into the courtroom and says, Your Honor, you know, he has to show respect in the courtroom. He will show respect in the courtroom. Your Honor, because he has to submit to God. Your Honor, you can't fulfill the purpose in his life or her life or their lives, in their family's lives, in their church, in their community. You can't do it. Because one of the angels was the prince of Persia. And that's found in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13 to 21. So he is in charge over the whole town. The prince of Persia was over the nation. So just to let you know, I don't want you to leave here without it. Richmond has demons. Virginia has demons. America has demons. Because they are situated not only over individual lives, but over individual environments also. When you leave here, go home, there's a demon centered around your house to make sure you and your wife don't get along, to make sure you and your kids don't get along. He is situated in order to create a legal case he can take to court. He wants to take it to court. Then you read your Bible and you will find a great deal about legalese. You'll find judges, judgment, you find laws, and lawsuits. You will find all the benches, you will find all of that in the Bible because God operates his kingdom legally. Now, there is a legal governance, and the goal of this legal program is to institute God's plan. The goal of Satan is to take you to court and to appeal to the judge to why you should not get the answer to that prayer that you just prayed. Why you should not get deliverance from that dilemma. He will charge you as an adversary with a lawsuit that accuses you before the judge. Now, please notice it. It says in verse 10 of Daniel that the books were open. Well, let me tell you about another book. In Psalms 139, verse 16, it says, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. In your book was written, in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me." So in your book are the days, whereas yet there was not one of them. So I don't have a day yet, but you plan out my day. And not only have you planned out my day, you wrote it, you wrote down the plan. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 5, he is calling us to understand what God is all about. Verse 5, he says, "Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to the scroll of the book. It is written for me to do your will, O God.'" So here it is. That's Jesus talking there. Jesus says, "I have a book too." The God-man, when he came to earth, had to have a human book. And Jesus' book was lined out his life, his contents of the book, was to do the will of God. So just like his book, your book is fulfill God's purposes for your life. Your book is supposed to, his purpose rather, his will, his plan. When Jesus lived his life, what did Satan try to do? He tried to erase stuff out of his book. He did it at his birth by trying to keep him from being born or killing him as a young age. He did it in the temptation in the wilderness to get him to disobey the word of God. He did it by getting the enemies to rise up and kill him before time. They even tried to kill him by trying to make him, they even tried to tear him away from the will of God in his life by trying to make him king, which was a position that was not in the will of God. It was a job description that paid high salary that wasn't in the will of God. So Satan is saying, if I couldn't break him, I raise him up to get him out of the will of God. But he couldn't do it. And then, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was there, sweat coming down his face as a blood, he had to make a decision of a lifetime. And what did he say? "Not my will, but thine will be done." That was in Jesus' book. Hallelujah. That's in your book. Hallelujah. So Satan spent all of his time seeking to take away from Jesus the plan God purposed for his birth. The goal of Satan for you and me is to take away from our lives the purpose for which we were created for in the first place. Now, Satan is something. Now you know, if he came to attack, try to steal, Jesus' purposes, Jesus' plans, Jesus' goal. There's a situation, a song or something used to come out. It's called Mr. Big Stuff. Who do you think you are? So he accuses the brethren day and night in order to bring them up, to bring up a case against you. So when you go to God, and you go to God to fix it, you go to God to reverse it, you go to God to heal it, you go to God to change it, the prosecuting attorney stands up and says, "Just a minute, Your Honor. Just 1 minute. You can't give him or her what they asked for, because I got a case here. Let me tell you what they did yesterday. Let me tell you what they did the day before. In fact, let me tell you what they are thinking about in church right now. I got a case against them. So you can't give them what they asked for, because I have a case against them." Now I'm going to get a little ahead of myself now. But whenever somebody has a case against you, you better have a good lawyer that's on your side. You better have a defense attorney who knows what they're doing. I don't want to go too far, too fast, but I do know of one lawyer. He's called Jesus Christ the Righteous. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And the advocate is a lawyer. So he is speaking in court terms. Where, when you go to God, you don't go there relationally. You go there legally. Now, there's a biblical word for this legal connection. It is found throughout the book of Daniel, but it's also found throughout the book, the Bible. And that word is covenant. Amen. That when God was giving his law in Exodus chapter 19, he was giving the law for the nation. Now the nation was run, how the nation would run, how the nation would operate, how the laws would be executed. And when he comes, he says now in verse 5, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my commandments, keep my covenant," in other words, "then you shall be my possession among all the people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the sons of Israel." Covenant is a divinely created relational bond. It is a legal, it's legal by nature. God runs his kingdom, his rule, his throne covenantly. That is, he is a legal document. God has a covenant. He has a divinely created bond when he made the covenant with us. It was a binding, legally, divinely created bond. Yes. Thank you. The key you need to know about the covenant, it has five ingredients. But the key right now you need to know is that they are legal in nature. A covenant demands the relationship. A covenant is a divinely created relational bond that is illegal in the nature, but it's tied to relationships. A lot of folks are calling on heaven, but God is looking for standards. Amen. Sounds like things about to go downhill for you right now, but they aren't. He wants to know, do you have a legitimate basis for laying claim for me to hear your case? So what Satan does is he brings accusations. He's our adversary. The Greek word means litigant in a lawsuit. He brings a legal case against you. So the question on the floor is, will the judge hear the case? And whether the judge hears a case, it is due to your standing. Daniel was standing. He had good standings because God says you are highly esteemed up in here, up in here. Daniel is standing, has good standing because God says you are highly esteemed up here. We view you highly up here. For therefore, I will hear your case. See, God knows for some of us, we will ask the supreme heaven to hear our case. But God looks at few things to find out what your standing is. He looks at your commitment. He looks at your faithfulness. He looks at your dedication. He says, you all don't have any standings up here. When I looked at the book, what you're supposed to have, you don't have any of these things. It sounds rough, doesn't it? But he has to make a righteous judgment call. But remember what I said earlier. Hold on, I'm going a little bit further. He says, you all don't have any standing up here. And if I answer you, all the enemy is going to do is come back tomorrow with something else. Come back the next day with something else. Because you all are not sure you have a standing up here. So we can't really bring it to our case to court because we don't have a case that's satisfactory to the judge. See, Jesus don't play with us. That's why he gave me this. I couldn't shake it, couldn't get off it, because, see, some of us, I don't know who, no, I'm not. If I'm stepping on my feet as well as yours. You call Pastor Tony up for prayer because you know he can get a prayer through. Pastor Mike, you know he can get a prayer through. Linda, you know she can pass. Oh, no, Pastor Linda, she's going to get them prayers through for them women. Sheila. You know, because she's focused. You know how spiritual she is. She got to be right next to God. But see, the problem could be, and you know when you pray for something and God says, I have taken care of it. And you leave out of here and the same problem. You said, dog, I thought he had taken care of my hurt. And doggone, it came back again. Because you are, what's happening there, you are depending on their prayers. They're closest to God to solve your problem. And then once it's solved, you go back and doing what you've been doing on all along. Because you think, but God, that prayer is going to heal you. But no, it's God's going to heal you. You have to stand on God and his book, what his book says. If you want anything that he intended for you to have, you've got to stay firm to the book that he's written for you. God is doing something in here. He wants to do more. But I want everybody to be a part of it. Leave your feet in the aisle. God will come right behind it and heal it. See, you want to be positioned and you want God to give you back what the enemy has stolen from you. You want standing because once you have standing, they will listen to the merits of the case. We want God to hear the merits of the case when we have an established standing with him. And that is why we must pursue a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Not just the blessings from the Lord.
Come on now.
And so I want you now to think of the battle you're in to reclaim what has been stolen from you, a decision has to be made in the court. If you can't litigate it properly in court, then you will not have the authority to go back what the enemy has stolen. You don't have no authority to get it back. So when we go through the process, we are going to try to turn everybody in here into a litigating attorney so that when you do go to court, you know how to take your case to court so that you can exercise spiritual authority. And watch this. Over whatever has been written in your book. But because I don't want to, because there's another extreme out there where people think they can get whatever they ask for, whenever they ask for it. No, you can't. You can if it's in your book. Whatever is in your book, what you can get.
Yes.
If it's not in the book, you're not getting it. So it is not in your book, don't even go to court. Because they will say, you don't have standing, and that's not in your book. I never planned for you to get that. I never planned for you to get that. I never planned for you to go there. So don't even bring that case to court.
Yes, Lord.
But if it's in your book and the enemy has stolen it in court, guess what? This is where the good part comes in. God allows appeals. Now, there are people here today who I know need a verdict from heaven. Anybody, you need a verdict from heaven. You got something you're praying for, something you put up, and you need a verdict. You need heaven to intercede and change something. You need heaven to intercede and change something. He has robbed years from your life, dignity from your person, hope for your future, your ability to function in an orderly way. He has messed with your mind. He has stolen from you. The problem is you got the prosecuting attorney in court, and he hasn't even shown up. Why? Because we know we're going to court loaded. We have a case. He says he accuses the brethren. And I wish I could put these together, but it'll take me, y'all be here asleep. He hasn't shown up. But it says that when the Antichrist came and tried to take the saints down, it says that the ruler of the kingdom stood up and shut him down. Is there anybody in here today that needs God to shut the devil down? Because he has too much to say. We have given him too much say-so. You need to shut him down. Because you need somebody on your side that says, I object, Your Honor. I object. Well, if you are tired of being robbed of your spiritual authority, of what is legitimately in your book, that is God's will for your life, my life, because you know one of the Satan's goals is to take your life before time. And really, we know we're gone. God said, but we don't want to go before time. Because you know one of his goals is to take your life before time. It's time for you, time for me, time for our families, our church to go to the that court, that heavenly court. I'm expecting some testimonies from you, from people in here who say, guess what? God gave me back. Guess what God gave me back from when the devil took it? God gave it back to me. He tried to take my decency. God gave it back to me. He tried to take my joy. God gave it back to me. He tried to take my marriage. God gave it back to me. He tried to take my kids. God gave them back to me. He tried to take my job. God gave it back to me. He tried to take my finances. God gave it back. He tried to take my future. God gave it back. He took my life and God gave it back. He took my friends and God gave and gave them back. It is time to reclaim what the devil has stolen from you. So when are you going to get started? When are you going to get ready? Somebody pray for you. And you go out here and it just because it didn't take a day, you say, well, maybe God ain't do it. Maybe he didn't. You prayed for your healing. You walk out here. God, when I walked out here Sunday, but my leg was feeling, oh, Lord, it was feeling good. My leg was moving. I was dancing. And all of a sudden, it hit you. What did you say? Did you say that Satan, did you curse Satan from the roots? Said, look, God has already healed me. Or did you say, oh, man, it came back again. I thought I was healed. We say stupid things. We say what we think is good, but we say stupid things, but we're just denying what God has purpose for us in our lives. We have to stop speaking. If God said it, he ordained it, it's in his book, hold fast to his book or what he says about it in his book, and you will receive it. Satan tried to be accused of the brethren and take that to court, you have a case. Guess who? God is on the case. He's your judge. He's the bench. He's on the bench. He, a righteous judge. That's why Satan cannot show up. Because when you walk in there, he says, oh, where's your adversary? Where's the person that's against you? He can't stand that because he is a liar and the truth is not in him. If you go in there truthfully standing on the word of God, you'll come up victorious every time. Don't worry about how long it's taken. It's not, he didn't say, your time, I'm going to do it. No, it's God's time. And don't let nobody talk you out of it. I thought God said, you said, God, you went to church. I said, God said you were healed. You still don't look healed to me. I said, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. And people are trying, Satan will use people to try to talk you out of your healing. He tried to use people to try to talk what God has already purposed for you to have in your life. God has a plan for your, don't let nobody steal it. And don't you give it away. Next week, we're going to court.
All right. Okay.
If you don't get it this week, you know how to take stuff to court now. You know how to get your healing back. And, you know, you don't have to wait till next week. But next week, we're going to take it to court. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you. Child, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you just for being who you are.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I thank you that your word went out among the congregation, Lord. We know, Father, that's why we praise and worship you when it's time to praise and worship you. Father, that's why we give you all that you need, that you desire to you, Lord. So when we get to times like this, when we have to call on you, you look at and see the standing that we have up there with you. And Father, thank you, Father, for just listening to our cases. And I thank you for being there for us. I thank you for your deliverance. I thank you for your long suffering for us. Lord, I just thank you all for just everything that you have done. I thank you for my air I breathe. My heart's continually beating, Lord. I just thank you from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet for all that you've done. You have done everything that you had to do, you have already done. Now you're backed up and helping us through it. And Father, I just give your name all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.